Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You need auto, home, life, or business, or all? Go to Purdy Insurance. They're going to find you the best price. They'll find you exactly the insurance so that you're covered. And if there is a claim, they will throw everything they have into making sure it is solved to your satisfaction. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today in Evanston, Illinois. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Michelle, the tailback, behind Devlin. Brady under center, gives to Michelle, runs it left, a dive to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Michelle for six. Tom Brady, about to be a six-time champion, takes the snap, drops to the knee. And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title. In the early 2000s, they won three of four. Now they have won three of the last five. Yes, it's still a dynasty.
Bob Soci with the calls on the Patriots Radio Network. As the Patriots win their sixth Super Bowl, now tied with the Steelers for the most Super Bowl victories. That sentence just became a gnawing one within the station. A sentence they did not want to hear. Now tied with the Steelers for the most Super Bowl victories. I believe I hear somebody in the back digital media office throwing things.
Yeah. Pretty ugly, that end of the building. Yes.
You mean in terms of the scene or just him?
Both. By the way, we hope to have Bob Soci on either Wednesday or Thursday later this week.
Good. Looking forward to it.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Wednesday or Thursday? Yeah, it's Thursday. I'm in Columbus. So.
Correct. Yep.
Yep. Okay. As I continue on with my... All right. Something I started last half hour, and I want to get into more. I went into Welsh Ryan Arena today. The last time I was here was for a football game between Penn State and Northwestern, about 15, 16 months ago? And at that point, Welsh Ryan Arena, which is out of the football press box, would be to my left over the south end zone, over the north end zone to my left, was gutted. I mean, they had the structure there, but it was gutted. So I could literally look through the arena structure, and I could see Miller Park, which is the baseball field for Northwestern. And last year when Penn State played out here, we played over at the Rosemont Horizon out by O'Hare. Well, they have done a spectacular job with this. They were able to go through this building, and they were able to redo it in such a way where it's all chairbacks. They did put a bottom area around, obviously, not in a bowl, but in a rectangle. And they put about a five to, some parts are five rows, other parts are 10 rows, and an upper deck around, right on top of the floor. It is a fabulous basketball facility. They also play volleyball in there. They also wrestle in there. And in fact, the volleyball team, the women's volleyball team, was in there practicing before Penn State came out. They took about 1,400 seats out to do this. It had been about an 8,700 seat facility, 86, 87 now. It's about 72 to 73, somewhere in there. It is a perfect size for Northwestern. Northwestern is not a big draw here to begin with. They do have a limited fan base. I mean, they can talk about being Chicago's Big Ten team all they want, but at the same time, it is what it is. You're in a pro area where the Cubs, the Bears, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, to some point the White Sox, who are trying to make a run at Manny Machado, all dominate you in this area. And even collegiately, when it comes to football, there are moments where Notre Dame football, because South Bend is close enough, can dominate you in terms of coverage. So Northwestern's fan base is what it is. And this arena perfectly fits their fan base. Perfectly. I think what, as time goes, as tempting as it was in the explosion of arenas and stadiums in this country, the idea was always, let's go bigger, let's go bigger, let's go bigger. Cowboys Stadium can go between, AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play, can go between 90 and 100,000. They have that ability with how the seats are in there. Ralph Wilson Stadium at one point had 80,000 seats up in Buffalo. I think that when you look at, let's just take the NFL, 65,000 is a pretty good number. That's why the Los Angeles Stadium, which is going to be 80,000 out at where old Hollywood Park used to be in Inglewood, I was surprised they went with 80,000 seats. It doesn't fit their market. And we're talking about the number two market in the country. I understand that, the number two market in the country. Millions and millions of people. But pro football is not a big deal there. And it's a big deal to some people, but it's not a big deal across the board. In Kansas City, they're passionate about it. In New England, they're passionate about it. New York, they're passionate about it. They're, you know, Washington, my goodness, Washington's passionate about it. The Redskins. The owner's been hurting that passion, yet despite all the damage that he's done in ownership, you still have people that care deeply. I mean, they're tarping off seats now at FedEx Field. But in Los Angeles, the Coliseum seats 90,000. If you notice, there's only 70 to 75,000 seats available for Rams games because they tarp off 15 to 20,000 seats. In Oakland, they tarp off seats. So now if you're looking at the 50 to 65,000 range for pros, I think the NBA arenas, I think, are about the right size. But college arenas, you've got Georgetown playing where the Wizards play. That's too many seats for Georgetown with the exception of a game or two. Villanova redid their place. That's the perfect size. Now you go to UConn. Gamble Pavilion is 9,000. Now, there are certain places that can take more just based on tradition. Rupp Arena, 23,000. They'll always sell out. Carrier Dome, obviously, they use it for football and basketball, but they draw incredible basketball crowds. They still do. So some places are going to be like that. And Tennessee, which has had too many seats forever, is having the kind of season right now that does warrant them having 24,000 seats in their building. You're asking, why does Tennessee have 24,000 seats? Because the mandate was when they built Thompson Bowling Arena, it had to have 1,000 more seats than Kentucky. It is really as simple as that. With HDTV and so many options on, probably downsizing stadiums and downsizing arenas is something I think that has to be considered, that less can be more. And I'm looking at what they did here, and I think it's a great model for a lot of people thinking about what should we do. And you have to do, whatever you do has to fit who you are. It has to fit your fan base. That's what they did here. I'll give you some examples in the Big Ten. Again, let's take the Jordan Center off the table here, okay? This is not about the Jordan Center. But I can give you some examples in the Big Ten. For example, Ohio State, 19,000 seats. Ohio State should probably be 12,000 seats. They don't draw well for basketball there. What has surprised me, when the Columbus Blue Jackets came in, I thought, no big deal. Who cares? You know, these people love Ohio State. They'll go to watch Ohio State basketball. That's not been the case. The the Columbus Blue Jackets have cut into Ohio State's basketball crowds. I didn't think that would happen, but it has. They really have an arena, instead of being 19,000 seats, a 12,000-seat arena is probably best for them. Michigan State's 15,000, that's about the right size. Michigan's 13,000, that's about the right size. Rutgers is 8,700, that's probably the right size. 17,000 for Maryland, that's probably the right size. Purdue's 14,000, every ticket sold. Indiana has been up and down the last 10 years. They still draw 15 to 17,000. The building seats 17,000. Okay. This building now is the size it should be. Nebraska sells out every game, so obviously their arena is the right size. I think in Minneapolis, despite it being a major city that next year will host the NCAA Wrestling Championships, Williams Arena probably is 3,000 seats too big. I mean, it's 14,000 seats. It probably ought to be 11, maybe 12. Kohl Center, 17. Also, it's a hockey building, too. But they, to their credit, they sell out. So let's... Illinois' 15,000 seats now. 16,000 seats. They sell out. And they've always drawn well regardless. Their stadium, their football stadium, is too big. Now, Illinois' football stadium is too big. Illinois' football stadium needs to be 45,000 seats. Same thing with Indiana. They need to be 40 to 45,000 seats. Now, the Big Ten probably would not be crazy about that, because part of it is, remember, football and men's basketball are involved in a ticket revenue share. And ticket revenue sharing in football and men's basketball is based on attendance. But Indiana's football stadium should probably be 40,000 seats. Illinois probably should be 40,000 seats. Purdue probably should be 40,000 seats. Maybe 50. Maybe 50 at Purdue. But Wisconsin's 90,000. They sell out. Nebraska's 90,000. They sell out. Minnesota's is 50,000. That's the right size. Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State are all the right size. Maryland, I think Maryland's like 48,000. They probably ought to be 40 to 45,000, and Rutgers ought to be about 40,000, to be honest with you. If you're just thinking about ideology, if we're going to build brand new stadiums across the Big Ten, Penn State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State, Michigan are all the right size. Michigan State's probably 10. Michigan State probably ought to be 60,000. Instead of 72. But I think that's the wave that you have going on in this country right now, is that because of the quality of the TV that we're getting, you've got to start thinking about how big your stadium happens to be. I mean, you don't want to be tarping off seats. All right, we'll take a break. By the way, if the 16th hole at the waste, why did the 16th hole at the Waste Management Open sound more exciting and dynamic than the Super Bowl and Penn State wrestling?
Well, let's see. I watched a good hunk of that on Saturday. I saw a row of about five or six guys all dressed up in banana costumes.
Yeah, but I mean, but I'm talking about the sound coming through the TV.
Oh, they were going crazy.
I'm telling you right now, Everybody that went to the wrestling match on Friday night told me it was a raucous crowd, and I absolutely believe them. I'm sure it was a raucous crowd. But it, you know, they've got to do a better job, Sean, of bringing that through the TV set. They mic up so many things, it seems like they mic up everything except the crowd. They got to bring that through the TV set, which will bring the excitement through. For goodness sakes, a golf tournament sounded more exciting in terms of you sitting at home in your living room listening to that raucous group at the 16th hole, where even when guys were trying to chip on 18, they could hear the crowd on 16. And that's not the fault of the crowd. That's not the fault of the crowd at all. They, you know, I think they're trying to bring us so inside that they're forgetting the ambiance of what the crowd does for the game and for the broadcast. How many times did we hear, oh, boy, listen to this crowd here in New Orleans? I'm like going...
The guys that were stealing money at that golf tournament over the weekend were the people holding the quiet please signs.
Or the ones that were selling umbrellas for yesterday. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back to Evanston. And Dick and Milton was in the Jordan Center on Friday night. Hi, Dick.
Hey, Steve. Hey, I just wanted to tell you that it really is it was a great crowd, but as I said to Sean, it's not Rec Hall, and it never will be. And
Go ahead, Dick.
Well, Mark Hall got interviewed after the match, and he said, after the Wisconsin match, and he said he thinks that Rec Hall might be the number one site for any athletic event. And because the crowd is so close to the visiting wrestlers, they get intimidated, unlike it was there, obviously. It's not quite the same. Even if it's with 16,000 people, it's not the same as almost sitting among the crowd at Rec Hall for the visiting team. And the coach said our guys were intimidated there. So.
Yeah, well, and I believe that because Rec Hall's interesting because ever since they had to play around a little bit with the ceiling there, once they did get the ceiling right in there, you feel like it's kept the noise in more as well.
Well, I know one thing. It's quite a place to be. I mean, don't misunderstand me. It was great Friday night up there, and I was a little concerned at first with two starters out. And but once they got past North, it was all uphill or downhill effort for Michigan after that, in a sense.
Once they got to the Four Horsemen, you feel pretty good.
I felt pretty good.
Yeah, and I'll say this: I love the way Kassar wrestles, and Kassar is the perfect example of a guy that everybody develops at their own pace. And now look where he is, because. I mean, 5 years ago, nobody could have pictured he'd be in this spot. Nobody.
No. I mean, obviously, Nevels was a ranked kid in top 10, top 5 in the country coming into preseason, and there he is, just whatever. I mean, I feel bad for him, but he's not going to beat Kassar right now. That's just the way it's going to be. So.
And not only that, but look.
So anyhow, good luck tonight. Good luck out at Northwestern, and we'll be on our way to Columbus on Friday morning. A couple fan buses, and we'll be out at St. John's Arena.
Yeah. You know what? I love St. John Arena. That was my favorite road arena in the Big Ten. And I was like,
well, we went out to Big Ten there several years ago, and I thought they were tearing it down. I don't know what. Maybe that was just something that somebody dreamt about. I don't even know. I thought they were going to tear it down, and they sure never did.
Yeah, so. that St. John was my favorite road arena in the Big Ten, easily.
It was good for wrestling. I know that when we were there for Big Tens, and I'm sure it'll be hopping on Friday night. So
yeah, I did the last regular season game ever in that building.
Really?
For basketball, yes. In fact, Penn State won the game. Joe Crispin hit a couple big shots.
Well, that was what I asked you. Did we win?
Yes. Yeah, Penn State won. Penn State did win the game.
Good luck tonight.
I appreciate it, Dick. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can get more people into a place. It's interesting because Rec Hall, everybody talks about Rec Hall being a great basketball arena. The one part about Rec Hall I can't stand as a basketball arena, I just don't like at all, is the end zones. They're too far away from the court. I mean, it's like it's almost absurdly too far away from the court. That's something I never liked about Rec Hall when it came to the basketball part. I'm like, the sidelines are awesome. Sidelines are incredible. Boom, right there. But the end zones, too far away.
You brought up Kassar. I still have the Penn State-Ohio State duel from last year. I just want to replay that just to just compare his body type this year from last year.
Well, because I'll tell you right now, he is cut. I mean, you look at the muscles on that guy. I mean, I've only seen one other person like that, and he was in my foursome at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament last year.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I have a feeling that the two of them are against boycotts because they don't want people boycotting their show. Is that the... Am I reading that wrong?
Productive discussion. Well played.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. Go to Purdy Insurance because they'll find you exactly the insurance that you need. That way you're completely covered. They'll find you the best price. That way it fits your budget. And then when it comes to customer service, they're the best. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. When we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, speaking of customer service, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Customer service is the name of the game at Sunbury Motors. They take great, great care of you. Oh, look, the Patriots won yesterday. Great. Every game, as I mentioned, takes on its own personality. And yesterday was not the kind of personality the NFL needed. They ended up with a dull game. It's the way it is. Sometimes you're going to get a game like that. And then you're going to get a game sometimes unexpectedly wild and crazy. You had a great AFC Championship game. I mean, I didn't think the NFC Championship game was a great game. It was close. And, of course, you had a controversial call. I thought the AFC Championship game was a great game. Now, part of that is the Mahomes factor. That's something that the NFL has moving forward that I think is dynamic. They have dynamic young players. Saquon Barkley, dynamic. He ended up making it into that NFL at 100 commercial. Patrick Mahomes, he ended up in the NFL at 100 commercial. It was nice also seeing Franco Harrison there, too. That was kind of cool with his immaculate reception moment. But they have some dynamic young players. Mahomes is dynamic. Barkley's dynamic. There's some, you know, you can talk about the swagger of Mayfield. Now, you know, I've not been a big Jared Goff fan from day one, but I think Wentz has that factor in him, some dynamic receivers, and now you're seeing some dynamic defensive players as well. I thought the Pro Football Hall of Fame was interesting, the way they leaned so heavily toward defense and toward the secondary. I think the NFL is the Hall of Fame voters, the 48 of them, are doing a great job of catching up with the new game and the modern game by the number of secondary people that were put in. Interesting, Peter King wrote his column, though, about on NBC about how much time was put into the discussion on each one. Now, in the end, it took them 7 hours and 41 minutes to have this meeting on Saturday, I believe. I think it was Saturday. And the time put in on each was interesting. Now, I know you're disappointed Alan Faneca didn't get in. Let me make this quick statement about Ed Reed. Troy Polamalu is the best X-factor defensive player I've seen in the modern era. Ed Reed is the best safety I've seen in the modern era. Okay? Troy Polamalu is the best X-factor. Safety, outside linebacker, where is he guy? That I've seen in the NFL in the last 25 years.
Yeah, if my math and timing is right, I believe next year will be Troy's first year of eligibility.
And he should make it first time through. But Ed Reed is also the best safety I've seen in the last 25 years in the NFL. Now, here is Peter King's breakdown on how long it took for them to discuss each player in the room. Gil Brand, who made it, 34 minutes. Ty Law, who made it, 27 minutes. Tony Boselli, 26 minutes. Kevin Mawai, he made it, 25 minutes. They discussed Don Coryell for 23 minutes. Pat Bowlen, he made it, 19 minutes. Tom Flores, 18 minutes. Steve Hutchinson, 14 minutes. Steve Atwater, 13 minutes. John Lynch, 13 minutes. Champ Bailey, he made it, 11 minutes. Edgerrin James, 10 minutes of discussion. Alan Faneca, 10 minutes of discussion. Johnny Robinson, he made it, 9 minutes of discussion. Isaac Bruce, 8 minutes. Richard Seymour, 8 minutes. Tony Gonzalez, the total time, Tony Gonzalez, 6 minutes. The total time talking about Ed Reed was 2 minutes. They only needed 2 minutes. In fact, 8 minutes total between Reed and Gonzalez. They both, of course, made it. Next season will be the 100th season for the NFL. But it's also going to be the 60th season for all the original AFL teams. It'll be the 60th season for the Raiders, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Titans, the Patriots, the Jets, the Bills, who am I leaving out, and the Broncos. They'll be their 60th seasons, the 100th for the NFL. And also the 60th season for the Dallas Cowboys. So, there was only one call yesterday where I sat back and went, huh? And that was the call on the personal foul, the first personal foul of the game. He caught it, got decked. That's football. He was defenseless. He caught it. He got hit. It's football. And believe me, I'm all for every safety. I mean, I'm the person that says they ought to run a play instead of an onside kick. Safety-wise, I think it's actually a safer play.
Yeah, that one play where Aaron Donald got into the backfield and flung Tom Brady down. I'm thinking, if this was a regular season game.
Yeah. Yeah, Donald did. I mean, he flung him to the ground. No getting around it. But, you know, he stopped him. I thought, oh, that's a good play. Flag. I'm like, oh. At that point, you had people, that's it. I'm going to go to the sandwich.
Actually, you called that in our prop bet segment last Friday. What?
Yeah,
what
personal foul would be the first penalty. Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea what I said on Friday. None. Okay, I remember I picked the Patriots. That was about it. Okay, that's. I remember doing that, and then I remember some guy doing a 10-minute dissertation on the national anthem. And the fact that they researched the last time she sang it. And I was like, at that point, I tuned out. What?
So did you get a sandwich when Maroon 5 was on last night?
Oh, yeah. I went down to get... I ate dinner right before, because I mentioned I had dinner right before kickoff. And then at halftime, I went down and just got something just quick to snack on. You know, then it came back on. So I couldn't, you know. He could have done cartwheels. I wouldn't have known.
They weren't bad. It wasn't the greatest NFL Super Bowl halftime show, but they weren't bad.
Look, just bring back a band, will you?
There's actually two songs I thought they could have done, but...
Hey, just get a marching band. No stage.
I could have done without Travis Scott. And it's like, nah, yeah, but... they weaved in an Outkast Big Boy song and kind of meshed in with the Maroon 5 songs on both sides, and it wasn't too bad. But yeah, they were getting ripped.
Okay.
They were getting ripped left and right on social media. But I've always been a big Maroon 5 fan. So,
have you? Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
I set your brother straight, though. He didn't know who. Like he said last Friday, you know, who's Maroon 5? Then when I told him it was Adam Levine, the lead singer, who was a vocal coach on The Voice, then bam, he automatically knew who he was.
Well, there you go. No. But and this is look. This is not me going, oh, well, I don't watch that stuff. I'm not interested in that stuff.
You're anymore. A game guy. You're just in for the game.
Yeah, I
mean... Nothing, and there's nothing wrong with that.
The pregame stuff, I mean, it's to me, it's become noise.
Although the big CBS opener at 6 o'clock with Peyton Manning in the boardroom, I thought that was kind of funny.
Was it?
Yeah, compared to a lot of the commercials last night, it was very, very well done. A little cameo, too, by John Malkovich.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Okay. But the pregame stuff. Now I was on a plane most of it yesterday, anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered. I was flying. I mean, we left State College. I was at the airport by about 1:45. We were up in the air at 2:30. So I mean, I saw none of that, and I probably wouldn't have. I probably would have watched a college game, an NBA game. When I got here, I watched the end of the Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Phoenix Open. I watched the end of that. That's not a protest against. I just, to me, it just becomes noise. And I know you and I do this for a living. I got it. So maybe people consider us noise. Hard to believe. But I just consider it noise. Same old thing. Well, over
just seeing
and over
it rain
and over
in Arizona, that was shocking. It's like, what? 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 It's raining out there? It's like, that stinks for being the final roundup.
Well, I was watching with Keith Ergo, and Keith's a big sports fan of, you know, I mean, gigantic Redskins fan. Oh, man. He is a huge Redskins fan. And, I mean, you ought to hear, I mean, I had to put he and Roger together, right? And then, like, secretly mic it up. the complaints? Oh.
Do a bonus podcast.
I mean, we could get a 5-part series out of that. And we're watching, and they're showing the 18th hole. And I said, you know what's cool about the 18th hole? I said, see that building behind there with the columns? He goes, yeah. I says, that's the that's the deck to the restaurant El Toro. I said, where Jack and I had dinner before the festival. He goes, you're kidding me. I said, oh, no. Right in the 18th green. Perfect. But, yeah, I don't, you know, halftime, whatever. Post game, whatever. I mean, I could, you know, I could watch the game myself and look at the game and go, okay, there, Gilmore's singling Brandon Cooks and they're doubling Woods. Okay, I got it. And they're singling everybody else. Right? The other seven guys were sometimes blitzing, sometimes dropping and trying to confuse them with false pre-reads.
Speaking of Cooks, which touchdown catch do you think he should have caught last night? The one when he was in the back of the end zone in the third quarter?
Second one.
Second one was double covered.
Second one he should have covered. He caught. He dropped it. He dropped that one. The one in the back of the end zone. That, you know, that was just the defender made up ground, got to the ball. So that's. You know, but the other one he dropped. That one's on him. The other one. I think the ball was. First of all, let's start with this. The ball was late getting there. The other throw, let's say I want to give Goff credit. I thought Goff made a pretty good throw on that one. Yeah. And didn't we had a story on hunting? About didn't Matt run a story on hunting about when...
The game about, commission's kicking around if they're going to start the... deer season on a Saturday instead of the Monday after Thanksgiving. Right. Seriously, yeah, considered.
Dumb. Yeah, that's dumb. Let's see. Considering college football's played on a Saturday, you're not extending the weekend, which, you know, no.
I didn't think of that, to be honest with you. I did not think as, yeah, because that's regular season finale for college football. That's right. There can be Penn State conflicts.
Exactly. We always play that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, pull your head out of the sand, realize what's around you, and make a decision. But if you want to know what a deer in the headlights looks like, look at that end zone shot of Goff on every snap. You want to know what that looks like. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Neil Kulong on tomorrow. As our salute to Tom Brady continues. No, I'm just kidding. Neil Kulong will be on the show tomorrow. We'll kind of get a read on where the Steelers are going, because now everybody's going to start focusing on the 100th season of the NFL, and that, of course, would be the 2019 season. 100th season of the NFL. Finally to that point. And yes, I would hope that in the story about the 100th season of the NFL, that they also recognize in part some of the great players that did not play in the Super Bowl. I think there's so many people that feel like the NFL began with the first Super Bowl, and I watched the first Super Bowl, watched every play of it. And that's not true. There's so many people that gave so much to get the NFL to the point where it is the league that it is today. And let's give a quick salute to Fred Gehrke. You're going to ask, who's Fred Gehrke? Okay. Fred Gehrke was a running back for the Rams back in the 40s. He also was an art major. And so one day he took one of the helmets home after a season was over with, and he painted the swirl horns onto the helmet. And he brought it in. Daniel Reeves was the owner of the Rams. In fact, his general manager at one point was a guy named Pete Rozelle. He brought it in. He said, what do you think of this? And Reeves looked at him and said, wow, that's awesome. He said, do you think you can do that for all the helmets? He says, yeah. He says, I'll give you $1 a helmet. There were 75 of them. I'll give you $1 a helmet. Now, this is the 1940s. So it actually took them all summer to do the painting. but he got them all done. And there was no press release, no Instagram, obviously, no Facebook, anything like that. The Rams just ran out at the Coliseum with these helmets with the ram horns on them, the yellow ram horns. And the crowd was like, ooh, ah, it was the greatest thing going. They loved it. For Gerke, the toughest part was, as the season went, obviously you'd be hitting, and guess what? You'd have to then touch up the helmets. You spent all year touching them up. He says, so when they finally got the plastic helmets where they painted it on, he said, I was so relieved. Gerke went on to be a scout in the NFL, worked his way through player personnel, eventually became the general manager of the Denver Broncos. He's the one that engineered the deal that got Craig Morton to the Broncos, which then in turn got the Broncos to their first Super Bowl. Now, they did lose it, Super Bowl 12, to the Cowboys 27-10. Red Miller was the coach. Gerke was the general manager. When the new owner, Edgar Kaiser, came in, he fired both Red Miller and Gerke, wanted a fresh staff. Gerke and Red Miller then went to the USFL with Gerke as the general manager and Red Miller as the head coach of the Denver Gold. The Denver Gold were the only team in the USFL, the only one that made money. Fred Gerke passed away in 2002, but his legacy lives on. Do you know who his great-great-grandson is? National League Most Valuable Player Christian Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers. How about that? So the next time you see Christian Yelich come to the plate, you say, you know, his great-great-grandfather is the one that put the first ever logos on helmets in the NFL, as well as being a general manager for a Super Bowl participant. Thought we'd end the day with a fun story, a little bit of history. But Fred Gerke, as a general manager, guided it, helped put together the personnel that put his team into a Super Bowl. But he also was a pre-Super Bowl guy who was a very good running back for the Rams in the 40s. I would hope in the 100th season that they celebrate not just the Super Bowl heroes and champions, but they also end up celebrating the other 45, 46 years of the NFL too. Because no matter what, whatever you have today was set up by the pioneers of yesteryear who set the foundation. We'll talk to you tomorrow back at the Sunbury Motor Studio. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.